for that day. Praise God. Because it's coming. It is coming. All right.
My brother lives in Tennessee. He'll be 83 in March the 9th. And he's been living for the Lord and filled with the Holy Ghost since he was 12. I was 15 when God saved me in an interdenominational holiness church filled with the Holy Ghost 2 months later. I've been serving him the best I could for 60-something years now, and I wouldn't take it no other way. But his little great-granddaughter's 13, and she got saved and baptized and going to a Baptist church. And so he goes with her on Sunday morning. So last Sunday morning when he went, he said, "Evelyn, when I opened that door and looked, it looked like a war zone. People were slain in the spirit now. Slain in the spirit." He said it looked like they were all, you know, gone on to be with the Lord. He couldn't get over it to save his life, you know. But I don't have a thing in the world against Baptist people. God's working every which way He can in any denomination that will listen.
Amen.
And it's real. It's real. I know it's real because my mother, she received the Holy Ghost when I was 6 years old and preached the gospel for years. My dad was a hard shell Baptist. He didn't believe in it. She laughed in the spirit all night long one night. My daddy was going to call the ambulance. He thought she had lost her mind. But she was on fire for God, and I tell you, he almost caused her. Well, he did cause her to go back on the Lord. But when she come back to the Lord, me and my brother was saved, and my friend and all that. It was a prayer meeting that we went to. And I was telling you about this Baptist man, and I don't know if they're both Baptists or church. One of them's Church of God. About the oil that's going around, you know, that the Lord's refilling the bottle that they're praying over the people with. And it's not even staining the Bible inside or anything. And this one Baptist minister, he was preaching against the Holy Ghost. And he went, some friend of his invited him to a spirit-filled prayer meeting. Well, the guy laid hands on him. He went out in the spirit praying, speaking in tongues. And then they was baptizing the people in there, and they was really confessing their sins in the pool, and God had put that anointing in that water. They were receiving the Holy Ghost. So it's real. And I raised my family, my four kids, in the ways of the Lord, and I've got three that's not serving Him, and I want y'all to keep them in prayer that God will bring them in. Three of them still with me, and it's hardship at 86, and I've had three strokes in 2011, and it's just hard. I've been trying to wait on and care for them. But that youngest son, 56, he had to be put in the hospital. Well, he had back surgery July the 30th, and 2 days later, the Wellstar nurse came out, got to fooling with his medicine. He went into a nervous breakdown, and he was in three more hospitals. 56 days at Wesley Woods at Emory, 20 shock treatments, but he's better now, thank God. It's been a struggle, been going up the rough side of the mountain, but praise God, I'm getting on the top. Joy's coming in the morning. Glory to God. And it's real, I know it's real, and my daughter, her mind's not what it should be. She was talking about people that, you know, was cremated, you know, back in the Bible days, when the people burnt their children, you know, in fires and stuff. She thinks that's the end, but it's not. She was raised in the holiness way, so keep her in prayer. Her name's Kathy. And she won't even call me Mama. She calls me by my first name. And she's had a lot of struggles. She lost her son in 2014, only son she had, and all. And, so just keep them in prayer. I felt like I should have told you about that church, though, where those people were just laying in the spirit and went to open the door to go in. Y'all pray for us, and we're praying for all of y'all.
Praise the Lord. Real glory. Thank you, Sister Hucks. Amen. I, for one, am very glad that the Holy Spirit doesn't look at the name of the church. Aren't you? Amen. I'm so glad that the Lord loves all people. Amen. And wants all people to love Him. My, my, my. Thank God for our precious patriarchs of the faith. I was thinking of Sister Hooks was sharing 60-something years living for the Lord. Battle-tested, amen, but still victorious. Victory in Jesus, amen. Glory to God. If you love the Lord, give Him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Amen. And can I just say this, and I don't want to be offensive at all, but if you're uncomfortable you're going to really be uncomfortable in heaven. Because that's all we're going to do is shout and sing and praise the Lord forever and ever and ever. My Lord have mercy. I was thinking a while ago, while the Spirit of the Holy Ghost was falling upon us this morning, how thankful we are for that and how privileged we are that God loves us to give us that type of comforter. But the Word says that we would be made to sit in heavenly places. Not in heaven here, but heavenly places. So I think the Lord every once in a while just gives us a little bit of taste of what heaven's going to be like. My Lord, the body won't get tired anymore. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no sickness, no tears, no more death. Thank God for that. Glory to God. Looking forward to seeing you there. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. I got a 2-hour message. I'm going to try to preach in 30 minutes. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Amen. I can't add anything to the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I do feel an urgency to read these scriptures and just to leave us with this thought this morning. We have a baptismal service we're going to be having. We have a young lady that's going to be singing as her sister is being baptized. Is that right? So, my goodness, we just got a lot of things going on this morning. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. And I will attempt to abbreviate this message that I feel burning in my spirit this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Your Spirit. Father, we're thankful for the anointing power of the Holy Ghost. Thank You, Lord, that we have the promises of heaven. God, all of this that You have blessed us with, but also a heavenly home with You. Father, I pray Your anointing, I pray Your blessing. Anoint these lips of clay this morning, God, as just a vessel and an oracle, that You might speak to our heart and to our lives, that we may be submissive and obedient and receptive to Your Word and to Your will. We pray, God, that if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice today, God, who's living in darkness, Father, I pray that You would illuminate the light of the Holy Ghost into their life. Lead them, guide them, and direct them, Lord, to an altar of repentance. And this, too, can be a joyous time in their life. And we'll give You praise and honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise, if you would. He's certainly worthy of our praise, is He not? This morning I've entitled this message, Spiritual Blindness. Spiritual Blindness. Spiritual blindness is a condition that an individual has when they are unable to see God or understand His message. It can also include those who reject God. What is the cause? Specifically, it is the God of this world. Satan has blinded, notice what the Bible says, not their eyes, but their minds. If ever there was a time when the message of spiritual blindness should be preached, it's in the day and hour that you and I are living in today. Must I remind us of the terrible darkness that has overtaken this world? It's not a darkness that's void of illumination of light. It's a darkness that's void of the presence of God in the lives of so many people today. I thought about the condition that has caused this. And maybe it starts with blurred vision. not able to discern right from wrong. We've been there, and we grew up. We were told what was right, we told what was wrong, and for a number of years we accepted that, but then there became that age of what we've called maturity that we began to question those things that mom said, that dad said, that the preacher said. We began to experience many of those things wrong, and the God of this world lured us into thinking that this is not so bad. It's not so terrible. The things that I've been told, the things that I've been preached to, the things that I've been told by my family seems to be pretty exciting and seems to be leisure and peace to my flesh. So we tested those things. And it blurred our vision, because what we'd been grown up to tell and to believe was wrong, and we should abstain from that, became very enticing and alluring to us. And it blurred our vision. That's a condition that probably happened to 100% of the people that is in this room this morning, as I myself was. But I thank God that there is an antidote for blurred vision. I thank God that He gives us enough of a mind and enough of a spiritual discernment to understand that my vision is blurred and I need direction in my life. Whatever that age was, whatever that time was, for me it was a fairly young age when I realized that my blurred vision was causing me to draw farther and farther away from the principles and the doctrines of the Word, but more importantly, farther and farther from the Spirit and the anointing of Almighty God. And I needed a rebirth. I needed a do-over. I needed Christ to come into my life. And it's amazing how He fixes automatically that blurred vision. Left unchecked, this blurred vision can develop into a total dimness where one can't see a wrong in anything. Notice there is a difference between blurred vision and total dimness. God forbid, but I believe that this is a condition that's running rampant in our world today. We're past, as a society, the blurred vision. We're past, as a society, amen, the conscience that should lead us and guide us as the anointing of power of God is upon us. As a society, we're past that. And our eyes and our mind has become dimmed by the god of this world, by the things of this world, by the excitement and the allurement of the things of this world that are detrimental if it doesn't become checked by the power of the Holy Ghost. Understand that there is a God. It's the God of the universe. There is a Jehovah God. There is a God that's greater than the God of this world. There's a God that's greater than the enticement of the things that are in this world. And this is where we must understand, as an individual, as a group, as a family, as a nation, as a community, that we must turn our eyes back to God, or we are doomed for everlasting torment. Hallelujah. A condition where dimness, one can't see a wrong in anything. You listen to those today and tell you whatever you want to do is all right. Whichever direction you want to go, whatever you want to call yourself. Oh, you don't have to serve the God, just serve a God. I don't find that in the Scripture. Just picked you out one and said, I don't find that. God said He is a jealous God, and there shall be no God before Him. There is only one antidote. There is only one answer. There is only one thing that can cause spiritual blindness, amen, to be broken and the scales from your eyes to fall. And that is a relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary, that our eyes may be opened up, that our minds may be opened up, that our spirit might be filled with His love, His mercy, and His grace. Spiritual blindness is a very real thing. It has taken hold of this world in so many ways. Parents, be careful. Be careful what those little minds are subjected to. We used to sing a song in Sunday school, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see." There's a Father up above. The world don't want you to know that. The world did not want you to be answerable to a higher power.
But there is a deity. I'm here today to tell you there is a God. Amen. There is a God. I don't see how anybody could sit in their pew and feel and experience the power that if we have just been made to feel this morning and deny the fact that there is an existing God. He's still just as real. He's still just as powerful. He's still just as loving as He ever was. But there's a darkness in the world. There's evil present. I understand that evil has been around since the time the Garden of Eden. I understand that. But somehow to me it seems that it has gotten darker. It seems like it has gotten more prevalent. It seems to me also that it has become more accepted. Accepted. The church has been taught meekness. The church has been taught to love one another as God has loved us. And those are exactly right, and that's dead on what the Bible tells us. But let us not misunderstand that meekness and grace and mercy can take the place of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Jesus did not condone the sinner. He loved the sinner. But He said, come out from the world. He told them that there is a better way. Amen. You don't have to be tied up in the spiritual weakness. It doesn't matter if we are in the minority. God has always excelled when He was in the minority. Let me tell you something. I believe that we're in the majority. I believe that we only think that we're in the minority because we're bombarded with all of this spiritual propaganda and telling us that we don't have to serve God anymore. We can do what we want to. But I think if the churches that truly believe in God would rise up and let the light of the Holy Spirit shine in our lives and let us say, no, I am in the world, but I am not of the world. I'm here, but I'm going to a better place. This is not my destination. This is not my home. I have a heavenly mansion that Jesus Christ Himself has prepared for me. I believe there is a significance in the Word of God where it tells us there will be no darkness there. Imagine a place where there is eternal light. Hallelujah. Be careful, Eddie. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It looks like the New Green Movement would love that. Hallelujah. No electric bill. No combustible engines. Glory to God. No more problems, no troubles, no trials. Eternal light. Why? Because the Son, S-U-N, no, S-O-N, S-O-N of God will be that eternal light. Glory to God. Imagine walking to the point you never get tired. Imagine praising God with a fortified voice, a voice that will not weaken anymore. Imagine a heavenly body prepared by Jesus Christ Himself. It will never get tired. It'll never get worn out. It'll go with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. But the world says that's a fable. That's a myth. That's a bunch of hogwash that was written by some man. I will assure you, amen, that the Word of God that I read came from heaven itself. It was moved on by men of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit to write what thus saith the Lord. Amen. It is the truest book that we'll ever have our possession of. Amen. We need to understand it. We need to live in it. We need to apply it to our lives daily. Amen. We don't need to put it up and put it on a shelf somewhere. This is the living Word that God has given us. It's a roadmap. It's a dictionary. It's a love story, amen, but most of all, it will illuminate us and give us the light of glory. Hallelujah. There is not only a darkness that prevails today, but it is a gross darkness. Isaiah's time, there was a gross darkness. In the 60th chapter, the 2nd verse, for behold, The darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. There is a reason that you don't fit in. There is a reason that sometimes you are avoided or shunned in your workplace. There is a reason why some folks don't include you in some of their conversations. Can I tell you, rather than being offended, rather than getting your feelings hurt, you ought to praise God that they see something in you that they don't have. Glory to God. Can I tell you one thing by the Holy Spirit this morning? Darkness does not like light. That's the reason you are shunned. That's the reason that the people avoid you. That's the reason that you don't fit in. It's because when you come into their presence, there is a light that shines. It's not you. It's that is within you. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And it checks them. And it makes them uncomfortable. And it brings light into them. And they don't want to be illuminated. Because the light begins to show the sin that is in their life. You see, things in darkness, people think they're hid. Amen. My granddaddy, bless his heart, preacher for many years, pastor for many years, used to talk about, he didn't talk about it from the pulpit, but he talked about it from the family. Sometimes he would go on visitation. He would knock at the door. Who is it? Oh, it's Brother Bailey. Just a minute, preacher. Just a minute, preacher. He said, you hear all kind of commotion going on in the house. Cans rolling across the floor, things being cleared off the coffee table, chunked in the closet, closet door shut, and pushed up against it. Come in, preacher. It's so good to see you. Darkness doesn't like light. But let me tell you something. There are some eyes that can penetrate the darkness. You may think it's hid. You may think nobody knows. You may think it's safely tucked away in the closet. You may think it's swept under the rug. You may think as long as you can keep it from everybody else, nobody knows. But there's a set of eyes that sees everything you do. Amen. Glory to God. And I'm so glad that He does, because He not only roots out sin, He forgives sin. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. If I had been held accountable for all of my sin, I would not be able to stand in the pulpit today. But let me tell you, in my life of darkness, in my time of trying to hide things, I found out that I could never do it. So I gave it up. I gave it to Jesus. And Jesus washed it away by the blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary. He gave me a brand new start. He gave me a brand new heart. He filled that longing that I could not find in any place. I couldn't get it in the world. I couldn't get it in the bottle. I couldn't get it in the medicine cabinet. I had to receive it at an old-fashioned altar where the light of the Holy Spirit came into my life. Glory to God. And it chased the darkness away. The gross darkness. I believe that you would concur with me today that it's very disturbing to see what's transpiring in our world today. There was a time, and I'm not that, well, yes I am. I used to say I'm not that old. Well, I am. My dad said, I'm not that old, I've just been here a long time. But there was a time, and I want you to understand what I'm about to say, that darkness, even though it didn't agree, it respected light. Man, that's what I'm talking about. There was a time in my lifetime where church property was sacred. Not only to those who attended the church, but to people who did not have any church affiliation. There was a time when, whether you would agree with it or not, saved people, amen, were respected. Maybe the people didn't agree with them. Maybe they didn't take part in it, but they respected those who made a stand for the Lord. My daddy was in the Korean conflict. My dad was saved, filled with the Spirit of the Lord, when he went into the service. And he said later on, that's a hard place to let your light shine. Not impossible, but a very difficult place. Many, many times he was asked to join in some of the other things. Daddy politely refused. You can politely refuse. You don't have to be, oh, sanctified, selfish, or, you know what I mean. Holier than thou. Praise God. Some of those folks, they better have an umbrella, because if it rains, they're going to drown. You can be saved and not be offensive. Daddy politely refused. He said, no. And when pressed, he basically said, well, that's just not a part of my belief. I just don't want to be a part of that. So it got to a point where they didn't ask him anymore. They respected him. But they didn't ask him anymore. During one of the all-night round tables that they were having, and the partying was going on, and Daddy was in his bunk, they thought he was asleep. One of his comrades spoke up and said, I'll tell you one thing about old Charlie. He's a good old boy. And others chimed in. He sure is. He sticks, amen, to his beliefs. Amen. But can I tell you, something has happened from that generation to the generation we live in today. It's not enough that the world doesn't see it like you do. They have to be demeaning. They have to be offensive. They have to be hateful. They have to call you unlearned. They have to tell you, amen, that you don't have the intellect and the knowledge to know about the power of God and whether there even is a God. Let me tell you something. That blurred vision has become a total dimness in the world, where people, not only do they not believe it, they don't even acknowledge it. This gross darkness is covering the world. But I got news for you. I could go on and on and on, but I need to wrap this up. This condition is not terminal. I'm about to quit preaching and start shouting. You ever walked into a doctor's office and known somebody that did, and they diagnosed you and told you, well, this is what it is, but it's not terminal.
Come on now.
Feeling better already, right? Amen. Let me tell you something. I found out through the Holy Word of God that even when I was steeped in sin, even when I was engulfed in total darkness and dimness and walking and operating void of the light of the Holy Spirit, it was not a terminal condition. Amen. The whole time that I was in darkness, glory to God, where I did not realize it to start with, I began to see a little flicker of a light. Glory to God. I began to see that lighthouse that was burning all the time. It was burning even when I wasn't even looking. Amen. The prayers of my daddy, the prayers of my mother, the prayers of my grandparents kept praying. There was a light shining. Lord, lead him. Lord, save him. Lord, fill him with your Spirit. Draw him out of that world. Open his eyes so that he can see the condition that I'm talking about is not cow. There is hope. There is mercy. There is forgiveness. There is grace through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to live in darkness. You don't have to operate in a total void of lights. Hallelujah. It's not terminal.
Amen.
Glory to God. Praise God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now. Can you say that, but now? But now. I'm not talking about when I was in the world. I'm not talking about what I used to do. I'm not talking about the sins that had my heart and my soul stained. I'm talking about the now. But now, I see. I see the power of God. I see the love of God. I see His mercy. I see His grace. I am the recipient. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now, I see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what I see is the light of God. Amen. Everlasting in my life. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the same chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4, verse number 6. For God. There's so many precious promises that start off with "for God." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, I am no longer in darkness. Because of Jesus, I now see. Because of Jesus, my life has been turned around. Because of Jesus, I know where I'm bound. Because of Jesus, I have a home prepared for me in that glorious place that He has gone just to prepare a place for those that love Him. Hallelujah. Yes, I was blind, but now I see. I don't have the opportunity or the wherewithal to have the Apostle Paul join us this morning. Can I tell you that something other than his name was changed? He was Saul. And he was on his road to Damascus, I believe. And the glory of the Lord shone down. It blinded him. Man. But you know what? He received his sight. Not only did he receive his natural sight, but he said, you know what? I've been kicking against the pricks. I've been traveling the wrong road. I've been operating in total darkness. I was blind, but now I see. What a testimony the Apostle Paul would have. Amen. And it changed his life completely. You see, that's the wonderful thing of hope. That is the message of hope that we declare unto you. So many times preachers are, they're accused of preaching doom and gloom. No, we're trying to get you out of doom and gloom. We're trying to point you, amen, to a brand new vision, a brand new life where old things are passed away and all things have become new. We're trying to introduce you to Jesus Christ, who certainly made a difference in my life. Glory to God. Even though there is spiritual blindness, amen, we can be able to see through the illumination of the Holy Ghost. May God bless you. As our children come up yet, would someone go and get the children? Sister Penny's gone down. This is wonderful. We've had several baptisms that come out of our children's church. Many of you already know, but some of you may be unaware that we have two services going on. Children's church and also, they call this big church. Amen. And can I say the last three or four candidates for baptism have come out of children's church. Thank God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as we prepare, we'll ask our music if they would return. Thank God for our music. We appreciate them so very much. They do such a wonderful job, and they give their talent for the service of the Lord. The baptismal pool is ready. And Brother Tony, you man, the children's church, he and Sister Karen are directors of that. He's going to be doing the honors this morning. So I believe it's Emma that's being baptized. And which one of the sisters is singing? Madison's going to sing. Family members, y'all feel free to come up. If you want to get pictures of this, that'll be wonderful. Man, this is a